Bob Mayhew graduated from Concordia University in Chicago and first taught at Zion Lutheran School in Litchfield, Illinois, for 5 years before coming to Good Shepherd Lutheran School for its launch year in 1984. His master's degree is from Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. Bob, I want to welcome you to the mic.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. It's nice to be here to talk to you.
You've taught and served as assistant principal at Good Shepherd for 16 years, and then you became our principal 15 years ago. So are you starting to get the hang of it?
I don't know if you ever get the hang of it, but I've learned a lot through my 15 years, but also my 16 years prior to becoming the principal.
It's quite a warm-up act.
It sure is.
Good Shepherd called you with the first batch of teachers to this fledgling new school, and at the same time, you had another call to a large, well-established Lutheran school in St. Louis. So we knew it would be a tough decision. Do you remember what tipped it in our favor?
I think what really tipped it over to Good Shepherd was really the Holy Spirit working. But there was a situation that I came from in Litchfield where there was experiences with principal issues. And I wanted someone who was going to be maybe more established to some degree, knowing that they were going to be around for a much longer period of time. And that at the time, the principal at St. Paul de Pere had been there for 30-some years. And so my fear was going to be, is who's going to be coming in there, and are we going to have the same issue? And so starting at a brand new school with a new principal who I knew through athletics, I just felt more comfortable in that situation.
Well, I remember my husband, Richard, driving you and Bill Cochran, our principal, around town, and you guys just happened to stop by the house at lunchtime. And I just happened to have lunch set up on the patio, and you joined me and our four kids who serenaded you on their violins. Now, this is just your typical Lutheran school teacher job interview.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you either thought this is over the top weird or one of a kind, but you did accept the call.
Yes, I did accept the call, and I think that was, I wouldn't call it over the top. I would call it very interesting, and I thought if all the students and families were like this, why wouldn't I want to accept a call here to Good Shepherd?
We tried to make it look good for a few minutes, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I was quite impressed.
What was your specific role with the Good Shepherd Lutheran School in the beginning?
Establish an athletic program, mainly because the 7th and 8th graders that were coming to Good Shepherd, because prior to that, Good Shepherd was going to go up to 6th grade, but we had a large group of students that were at a Holy Cross Lutheran School across town where our students went, and they wanted to be part of this whole launch. And because of that, they made some sacrifices of not going to or having an athletic program as prestige as what Holy Cross was at that time. And with letters and so forth. And because of that, my job was to try to establish that at the very beginning of with letters and everything that Holy Cross had that we could also have too.
So you established a very competitive program, and the kids could letter in four sports, I think.
Yes, it was. It was four sports at the time, and our teams did quite well our very first year, so we were quite pleased. But we had great families and great kids that came in. So it wasn't a typical first year to be actually to put on there, because we had our first year we had about 15 students that graduated, 15, 16 students. But the following year was the eye-opener where we had four students graduate, which would be a typical time of when you're starting a new school with lower enrollments.
Our son Brooks was in the first graduating class, and I remember how well that basketball team did that year for just starting from scratch, in a sense.
Yeah, I was quite excited to have the group of boys that I did, especially when we didn't have a permanent gymnasium and we had to go to different places outside and rent different gyms to have practice. And sometimes our practices were only maybe one or two times a week versus five times a week that most schools had. Our record was 14-12, and it was great. The kids were extremely happy. We had brand new uniforms. We had a charger that was a mascot, and so it was quite a great year to begin with, and something I'll never forget.
So you started the athletic program when you came. How many other hats did you wear?
Well, I also helped with the youth. And then, of course, you can't forget the main call. Your call is to teach. And so I came from a two-classroom, fifth and sixth grade, teaching 14 kids in fifth and sixth total, to teaching 29 kids in grades 4 and 5. So that was almost doubling my class size. The other change was my experience in Litchfield was mainly Lutherans, where my change at Good Shepherd was a lot of non-members. And that was a great experience for me, because I remember the first time I was talking about Martin Luther, and I had probably about 5 mothers lined up in the hallway after school wanting to talk to me about Catholic religion. And so it was a great experience for me to explain what I was telling in the classroom and sharing about history, historical facts about the Reformation. And so it was good for them and also for me, and it allowed me to grow as a teacher.
Well, you were single at that time, so you did have a little bit extra time, although you did manage to court and marry a daughter of the congregation, the amazing Gail Schneider, with whom you have a high school senior son and a university sophomore daughter. So the violins paid off, really.
Yes, they did.
In fact,
more than once.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. In fact, first on the patio for your interview lunch, and then at your wedding. We were privileged to play at your wedding. That was neat.
And we were grateful that you were able to do that, because that made it the wedding even more memorable.
How many years then before you became principal?
There were 16 years before I became principal at Good Shepherd. Prior to those years, Mr. Cochran was our principal, founding principal for 8 years. Mr. Brandt came after that for 8 years, and then I became the principal. And so people were asking, was I going to leave after 8 years?
Yeah.
And I kind of laughed. I never thought about that.
And Paul Brandt is serving in the mission field, I believe, in Africa right now.
Yes, he is. He and his wife.
Yeah. As Sue, who was
an
amazing art teacher.
Amazing art teacher.
Yeah.
Half-time art teacher that worked full-time.
Yes. What would you say prepared you for the role that you continue to this day?
Many things. I'd have to go back to my two principals that I had at Zion Litchfield, Mr. Bill Lubbin, my first principal, and then Mr. Tom Weiss, my second principal. Then as I came to Good Shepherd, Mr. Bill Cochran, and then Mr. Paul Brandt. Having those principals really helped me establish who I am today, plus also the pastoral support, the parent support, but also I'd have to say my wife's support with my two children. Especially when I became the principal in 2000, my children at that time were 5 and 3. Not only was I the principal, but I was also the athletic director at the same time too, so I wore many hats in that capacity. So that, but I was still young, so that was a good thing. And but my prayer life increased tremendously.
We can tell that being the principal and being a Lutheran teacher is not a 40-hour-a-week job.
No, it's not. No, it's
yeah,
not.
So our hats go off to Gail for the many hours that she was solo. Really.
And I knew that going in, becoming a teacher and a principal in the Lutheran schools. That is part of the process. My first adversity would have been the first year I became the principal. I had to get 5 new teachers. I had never done that before, and I can still remember asking Mr. Brown, are you sure this is something I should be doing? Maybe you should be helping me. And he alluded to say, well, it would probably be best for you to do that, since you're going to be the one that would be the principal, and he wouldn't be. At the time, it did not make sense, but afterwards, of course, he had much more wisdom than I did. And so I did appreciate that, trying to make sure that new teachers, as they come in, are really set into what your mission is at Good Shepherd, training them, understanding of the philosophy of the school, of the mission of the church and the school, which is so important. So I think those adversities have happened, especially in a large school where you have a lot more turnover in teachers. And so I have done a lot of calling of new teachers, new staff over the many years. It strengthened myself, I believe, the school too. We always try to find the best teacher possible. And sometimes that best teacher possible may be a Semwife who you only have for 2 years. And then after that, you're calling again. But I want to make sure the parents know, and they trust, that whoever we have on staff is going to be the best qualified for their children.
And you must also have a challenge when students who have been there leave, or for whatever reason. Maybe they had an experience that they thought, well, you know, we can do better at another school. That has to be difficult.
Yeah, that is difficult. And over the years, I've had some families that have come to me and sit down with me and say, it's nothing that you've done. It's just, we believe this would be best for our children. Those situations I have really appreciated, and I've shared that with them. Others that you thought you had better relationships never would give you a right answer or an answer other than, well, we just feel that maybe it's too costly now for us, even though you are always trying to find ways financially to allow their family to continue to be at Good Shepherd.
What would you cite as the strengths of the Good Shepherd Lutheran School?
I would say committed workers, committed to the mission of the ministry, a Christ-centered school, people that are committed to Christian education, especially by the church. When our school started in 1984, our church always wanted a church, a new church. And so they put that off until 1999. And so I think that's a big commitment. Since 1999 to presently now in 2015, we have had three building programs, approximately about $7 million invested. This next one that's going to be coming up, which is our early childhood center, is close to $3 million. So that's going to be $10 million since 1999. That is a commitment by not only our members of our congregation, but also by our pastors.
How many teachers are on the staff now?
Presently, right now, we have three teachers that are in early childhood. We have one aide, one cook, four assistants. There are 18 homeroom teachers. We have three foreign language teachers. We have a German teacher, a Spanish teacher. We also have a Latin teacher. We have one resource teacher, and we have one counselor. And we have, of course, two office staff members. And so there's many staff to maintain and keep happy.
And keeping happy is part of your role as the principal.
Keeping happy is.
How do you encourage and support them?
Well, that's a great question. We try to communicate. I don't think you can ever communicate enough. It's like a realtor always says, location, location, location. I always say communication, communication, communication. Being on the same page as what I would say would be very important. We have department meetings. We have new staff meetings. I do have a welcome back time for new members. Our board is very good at this. We have school picnics that we invite our new staff members to come to at the beginning of the school year. We have Christmas socials that we invite not just the school staff, but also the church staff. And it's something that we've done since the beginning that I remember. And it's hard to do that, especially the larger you are as a school and a church.
Is the salary range competitive?
It is competitive with the Southern Illinois District scale. The difference comes when you're so close to Missouri and so close to other borders that it may be $3,000 or $4,000 difference. But I truly believe we don't come into this field to become rich from the standpoint of a monetary richness. We become into this field to become rich as far as the spiritual and the blessings that we receive through the children, their families, what they receive, and that life that goes on, that's worth the $1 million for a paycheck, as you would say.
Yeah, but we still have to feed our families, and the labor is worthy of his hire, so I think we appreciate very much that the church is able to pay at the top of the pay scale for our district.
Well, and I think you're right. That's been something from day one of our school. And also our church. And it's something that we always struggle with, especially with our budget, with declining enrollment, declining attendance at the church. But it's a commitment that we have that we will remain at the Southern Illinois District scale.
What is the size of the student body right now?
Student body right now is 300 students, K through 8, and we have another 52 students in our early childhood, which is our 3s and 4s.
At one time, there was more enrollment, wasn't there? So there's an ebb and flow. I think we were up to, what, 400?
433, I believe, has been our highest. And that was back, I believe, in 2006, when the economy was good.
But it's a tuition-based school.
It is a tuition-based school, and that's been one of our struggles that we've had at our school. But it's also been one of our blessings. It's been a two-edged sword, as you, I guess you could say. Back in 93, when we started tuition, we were kind of on the cutting edge of that, and there are still many congregations not believing that the church should be supporting the mission of the school. But we know through finances that was a hardship to all the church ministry and what they could do as they were growing likewise. And so this was to be able to make the school to be more stable on its own, to be able to monetarily work within its means.
What is the tuition?
Tuition presently right now is $4,178 for members, and then we have, it's about $800 difference, about $49.59 for non-members. There's also tuition assistance that we have for members and also non-members that we stress to have them take out. Many people choose not to for other reasons, and I try to explain to them, well, if your son and daughter is going to college, you'd have to apply for this. And we know times are tough, so we would like you to do that because we would like your family to be part of this process.
Do you have to be Lutheran to get in?
No, you don't have to be Lutheran. Presently, right now, we have about 58% of non-members attending Good Shepherd. We pull about 65% of our own members, and we actually pull from about 18 different communities, which is quite exciting. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to come to Good Shepherd, because it was the outreach into the community and other places. A lot of our students don't just go to the area high schools, Metro East Lutheran High School, which would be one of our association schools that we're a part of, but they also go over to St. Louis. We've had many students that have gone to St. Louis University, Vianney, CBC, Westminster, and so forth.
Describe the relationship between the church and the school.
The church and the school has always been, to me, a very positive relationship, very strong, committed to the excellence, not just with the church, but also with the school. Over the years, we've had many different pastors in, associate pastors, and adding more staff to the church, which has sometimes become harder for our communication tools to remain always on the same page. When you only had one pastor and one principal, it was much easier. But again, those are the growing pains that we all go through. And that's why it's so important to continue to communicate, continue to have meetings. Pastor and I, we meet, our pastors and I should say, meet on Fridays when everyone can, of course, but that's a scheduled meeting, and that's allow us to come together to talk about the ministry of Good Shepherd, not just of the church, but also the school, and how we can kind of continue to promote it, and what we are talking about in Bible classes for the growth and the faith of our constituents.
The church and the school have their own boards, right?
Correct. They have their own boards from the elders, which would be the church. The school would have the Christian Day School, but we do then come together on the third Monday of the month, which would be the council, when all the groups come together. Pastor has started a new group, or a new meeting, I should say, where we have other individuals who come together. Tom Westfall, who is our DCE, or Director of Christian Education, with the youth. He meets along with Zach Stegman, who is our children's ministry, music, along with Carol, along with Mr. Lemker, who is our music director, and Carol Walther, who's in the women's ministry, along with Pastor Adel, along with Marty Hoffman, who's our parish administrator, and myself, makes up about seven people. We talk about things that were discussed in our council meeting, so this meets on the Tuesday after our council, and allows us again to communicate, making sure that we're staying on the same page.
And it's rather intense, but certainly intentional.
It's very intentional, but there are times too, we will have to say, to be honest with you, there's no perfect place, and you still work with those things, and you thought we talked about it, but we didn't talk about it, and that happens in the ministry and happens in every place.
Now we come to the 21st century biggest challenges for the school. Enlighten us.
Yeah, they are. They are a challenge. They are a challenge from the standpoint of technology. Technology has really become another tool in which to educate children. There are many families that are looking to see how technological based your school is. But it's not just with technology. It's also with changing methods. parents are looking, making sure or seeing if your school has kindergartners who can read by the time they're in kindergarten. So education values have really been pushed down to the point where there's a lot of pressure on students, a lot of anxieties that we see. More assessments are being done in the classroom than ever before in the 21st century. Again, we still have the No Child Left Behind. We still have now the new Common Core that's coming out. Now we have more homeschoolers that are all around. But I will say one thing that's been consistent is the commitment to Christian education. There are sometimes you feel that there might not be the commitment because of financial problems and why they may not send their child to your school because of that. But I do feel that with the challenges that we have, the sacrifices that parents have made has made us a stronger school. I also believe, too, that we need to remember that our teachers are part of this 21st century and making sure that they have the necessary professional development for them to not only be a teacher, but also to be a counselor, to also be whatever it may end up being. Teachers wear many different hats now as before they didn't. So the 21st century does bring on those challenges, but there are good challenges, and those are things that we're always trying to train up the next generation, as we always say, not educationally, not just as educationally, but also spiritually too.
And of course, we have, as we speak, the preschool, $3 million preschool building being put up. My goodness, you must have high hopes for that.
Yeah, that's quite exciting to finally have all the pieces together. And what I mean by that, back in 1987, we took our preschool off campus. And that has been a problem from the standpoint of communication, feeling apart. Even though you have meetings with them, they're still not part, physically apart. We have also, as we bring that together in the fall of 2015, it will be exciting because we're actually offering many new opportunities, options for parents. Our previous preschool was the traditional 2-day for threes and 3 days for the fours, morning and afternoon. Parents are wanting more than that. We also offered a daycare at Good Shepherd. We're no longer going to have what we call a daycare anymore. It's going to be more educational based. We used to have 2-year-olds program for a couple years at Good Shepherd, and we did away with that. We're looking to maybe resurrect that to 2-year-olds. The ECC, as I call it, Early Childhood Center, is really not a new facility. It's an addition to our existing plant. And we're going to be intentional as far as keeping kids connected to our school. Our kindergarten classes are going to be in the new facility. We're going to have 2 threes. We have a Young's threes, which will allow those that are not ready, and then also we'll have a threes and fours program, and then a fours and fives program. Mrs. Julie Bedard was called to us 2 years ago and has done an outstanding job leading that with the options. We have a 2-day program, a 3-day, 4-day, 5-day program, half days. We also have a school day program, and we also have what we call now an extended day program, which would be a 6-to-6 that some parents still need because they work. We have to keep that and to the understanding that it's still part of the Christian education that we want to have at Good Shepherd. By having the early childhood next to us, we'll be able to incorporate foreign languages. We'll be able to incorporate music programs into that. And so I'm really excited as we begin this new launch in 2015.
Yeah, exciting indeed. This new preschool opens up all kinds of possibilities, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And one of the possibilities or one of the new things that we're going to be establishing is an early childhood playground. The playground will have structures which normally kids would play on, but it's also going to have exploring areas. So it's going to be like taking the classroom and putting it outside. We're really excited about that opportunity as we are developing it right now and trying to get our parishioners involved with this, with building different items to help us bring it to a reality and a neat time for the kids to play.
I feel the energy coming from this project. I know it was discussed for a long time before we did it. It's a huge financial commitment in 2015 when the economy's kind of questionable, and yet people did commit to it, and it seems to be energizing a lot of people. Do you feel that too?
Yeah, I do. It has been a long process. The process for myself started back in 2004. At that time, we were asked by the council to investigate a new early childhood center. Prior to that, we just finished building our school, or finishing up our school, I should say. And so they were wanting to know what to do with the daycare preschool that we had on Chapel Court. So we did some investigation with our board chair and myself and a couple other board members, and we actually visited 7 early childhood centers, one as far away as Paris, Illinois, to Springfield, Illinois, and to the Missouri schools to find out what would be the best options for us. We also visited one over in Rockwood School District, and we found that these would be some items that we would need, such as certain classrooms, sizes of classrooms, and those things. What happened, it was kind of put on hold because our church at the time was going through calling of an associate pastor, calling of a youth. So there was always in his time, which is really kind of interesting because that's our theme this year, is in his time, from Ecclesiastes. So even though we wanted something done in 2004, 2005, it wasn't the right timing. And so I think it is a blessing. It has been one of the most interesting building programs that I have ever been through, since I've been through many different building programs since 1987 when we built the new gym, and then we added on to the school, to the church. So it has been quite interesting, but it has also been very meaningful, and also one that I'll remember because I think I've grown through it, because you have to have a lot of supporting evidence in why you really feel that this is something we need in the ministry, especially with the economic times that we're in right now. We never wanted to go into something saying, well, if you build it, they will come. But I truly believe we were having difficulties building our early childhood center as we know as today on Chapel Court because we only had 2 rooms. And because of having 2 rooms, we're not able to offer all the different options that we're able to offer now. And so I'm quite excited about that, and I think that will be a benefit to our community here at Good Shepherd.
You mentioned having a theme, the theme in his time being the one for this year. And every year you have a different theme. And I know you have chapels every week for the children, don't you, the students?
Yes, we do. Every year since day one of our school, we started our themes. One of our themes that we had in years past that I remember, and which I think it's something that I still express in chapel and to the students and to our student body and to our faculty, is share the secret. That was one of our themes. Many times as Lutherans, we don't share the secret as well in telling about Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. This year is in his time, which was quite appropriate as we developed the theme, knowing the early childhood, knowing that we have accreditations that are coming up. And we know that God will provide in his time. And that's why we need to constantly stay in the Word, constantly stay praying and asking for guidance and direction in our walk.
I love seeing the children come into the chapel each week. Do they come from kindergarten all the way up to 8th grade?
Yes, they do. They come in kindergarten through 8th grade. We also, this year, put them in Faith Families. Faith Families is a group that we started 4 or 5 years ago. It pairs up students from all grade levels, kindergarten, 2 from kindergarten, 2 from first grade, all the way up to 2 from 8th grade. Our junior high, which is our 7th and 8th graders, along with one of the teachers or myself, we have about 18 different faith families, meet the first Wednesday. Actually, today will be one of our days that we'll be meeting, and we'll be talking about optimism and being optimistic in our lives as a Christian. We've had other topics such as respect, such as loyalty, such as love, and many other key words. And we talk about, we meet in the gymnasium for about 5 to 6 minutes. The teachers put on a short little message. From that, then we break into our groups, and then we just talk about life, what it's mean to be a Christian. We've also had during National Lutheran Schools Week, we had a trivia day for our faith families. So that was quite interesting because we had only certain questions that could be answered from K to 2 and only certain answers that could be answered 3 to 6 in grades and only questions from grade 8. And so it wasn't like the 8th graders were dominating it, but it was kind of a family atmosphere, which is really neat. So when as we come together in that time in chapel, it's really a nice time to hear more about God's word and what he does and what he does for us each and every day.
I hear a lot of emphasis on weaving faith and daily life together in learning and relating to one another and everything that goes on at the school.
Well, that's part of being at a Lutheran school. We integrate the faith. You don't just have faith in religion classes, but how do you have faith in your math class? How do you have faith in your science class? How do you have faith in your reading classes? Modeling the faith is so important. I always ask the faculty, what makes us different? Are we different only because we have Lutheran on our name? Are we different because we are different on how we teach as far as faith building, making sure that students understand that the world is here because of creation. God created the world. The numbers that we have, everything that we talk about, literature, it all goes back to him. Because, what are we training? We're training up Christian leaders. And it's so important that not only are we training, and I should mention this too, not only are we training students, but we're also training families. Many families nowadays are needing parent help because there's just so much bombardment of TV, social media, everything that their kids come in contact with from the outside, the secular world, that they need support and help. And I believe that's one of the benefits that we are for those families.
When Bill Cochran spoke with us, he mentioned one of his major goals being to make Good Shepherd Lutheran School the school of choice. And one of the ways you've done that is to be accredited. Briefly explain what that means.
Accreditation comes in two ways. A non-public accreditation comes through the state of Illinois, and that comes from whether or not you have your immunization records, your asbestos policies and those items in place, bus evacuations, fire drills, and so forth. The National Lutheran School Accreditation, which came to be in 1986, and we were one of the piloting schools to be accredited, comes more into the base of your curriculum, how are your teachers teaching. We've gone through three different areas. One was a standard-based, making sure that you have curriculum and things in line. The next accreditation, because it starts to evolve and change over the years. In 2000, as we were starting our next accreditation, it was what was called ongoing improvement. And that was another interesting situation as I became the principal, not only getting 5 new teachers, but accreditation was right around the corner. And so the ongoing improvement was to set up strategic plans for your school. Where do you see your school in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years? They've changed the process now to what's called EBA, which is evidence-based accreditation, which we're actually going through now, which makes it even more difficult. It's not only if you say you are good, you tell me why you're good. Give me some evidence. Show me some practices that would validate. That's the key word, validation of what you say you are or validations of what you say you do, which, again, makes us accountable for being a Lutheran school. I believe, to my heart, as much work as it is, it's a great process because it is something that keeps us on our toes and not on our heels. And going into the 21st century, as we continue on to teach kids, we want to be the best that we can be for these families.
Let's move from being on our toes to being on our knees. Yeah, your prayer for the Good Shepherd Lutheran School outreach in the years ahead.
Well, my prayers would be to continue to be true in the teaching, to be bold in our faith. As we mentor and share that greatest gift, our Savior Jesus Christ, as I mentioned before, we want to share that secret that we have. And it's really not a secret, but there are many families that have not heard that. We want to make sure that we are always there for families, not just Lutheran families, but any families that would come to our door that need us, which I think is something that we need to keep there. We need to keep talking about our faith and not just assume that people know who we are. And we also need to know that this is part of our journey. And it's an awesome responsibility that we have as Lutheran educators to continue to pray for our school. And that's what it means to be on our knees each and every day, because we don't have all the answers. Our strength comes from Him. But we also need to understand that there's many families that have not heard the word. And so each and every day, that's the neat thing about Good Shepherd. We open up with prayer. We have pledges, not just with the American flag, but also the Christian flag. Student body from different classes come and lead the prayer over the intercom each and every morning. On Thursdays, we have chapel, so we have prayer there. And then they also are witnessing the grace that's at work at Good Shepherd. So it's not a black and white situation when you deal with discipline, but knowing that we are sinners. But not only are we sinners, but we're also forgiven through God's grace. When I talk to children about discipline and about what they've done wrong, many children will say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I go, "I bet you are," because you got caught. But the key is, are you remorseful? Remorseful is a change of heart, a change of direction. What a great opportunity we have as a school to be able to shape these kids so they understand the importance of staying on the path. It's so easy to get off the path without knowing it. But when you have that hand, a gentle hand, but firm hand, to know that this is where you need to go, because we want the best for you in which God's given you. And we want Him to be able to use those gifts that He has blessed you with, that you can be a blessing.
Thanks so much for talking with us today. We've gotten a big view picture. We can see the forest for the trees, and we can also see a lot of the trees from your description of what's going on. And we, of course, pray for the school and its staff and its students and you, its leader, all the very best in Jesus' name and for His sake. Thanks, Bob.